Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Burger night is back like it never left. You can get a cheeseburger for $2.95 or add bacon and beer cheese like I like to do for $3.95. That's Mondays from 3 p.m. to midnight. It's 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, which means phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. What improvements do you want to see from Jaden Daniels in 2025? Year two in the National Football League. The question of the day on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, boss?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
What improvements do you want to see from Jaden Daniels in 2025, 2026? Year two, the National Football League for your Rookie of the Year franchise quarterback for the Commanders. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. When I think back to this past season and Jaden Daniels' play, I think the first word that comes to mind for me is electric. I mean, he put this team on his back. He made so many amazing plays where he would make a guy miss and then keep his eyes downfield and find an open receiver, or make a guy miss and then run downfield for 15 or 20 yards. He didn't really have a signature play like RG3's rookie year, where he had the 75-yard run against the Vikings. He had a couple of signature type plays where he had a 3rd and 15 or a 4th and 15 conversion against the Philadelphia Eagles. That same game, he has the game winning throw against Jamison Crowder. He has the Hail Mary, which was the signature play kind of that season, even though, you know, I felt like the Hail Mary itself didn't even define that game, because I thought we should have won easily. I mean, we were the better team in 90% of that game. Just the red zone failures led to the team kicking field goals and then in finding themselves behind there in the fourth quarter. But what improvements do you want to see from Jaden Daniels in 2025? I think the first thing for me is I want to see more deep shots downfield. I want to see more explosive play in the air from Jaden Daniels. And I think the other thing is I want to see him also live to fight another down more often. You know, for example, don't take a hit and lose a yard when you could throw the ball out of bounds. Don't take a hit and gain a yard when you could throw the ball out of bounds. You know, I think that so many rookies in the National Football League, they play every snap like it's their life is on the line. And Robert Griffin III certainly did that in 2011. And a lot of plays, Jaden Daniels did that last year. But it's just kind of hard to have that mindset for your entire career. I almost think it's like in tennis, with what made Rafa Nadal so special is that he was like the only one around that could fight his ass off on every single point. Can Jaden Daniels be the kind of guy that can put the team on his back every single game this upcoming season? Sometimes I think he's going to have to just live to play another down and not try to put the Superman cape on and risk injury. And just look, it's 2nd and 10. There is a huge pass rush in your face. Throw the ball away. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. I certainly think that part of his stardom, part of his rise in fame in the National Football League, was the fantasy football element. A lot of people that did not care for Washington started to pay attention because he was getting double-digit fantasy points and sometimes upwards to 20 or 30 every single night. So I'm excited to see that. But in terms of the growth, I want to see the passing touchdowns go up. I want to see the interceptions stay around the same. I want to see him become a 4,000-yard passer. For some reason, that means a lot to me. That's the number that I think he should have as a goal. Can Jayden Daniels be a 4,000-yard passer? Because that's, you know, that's something that Kirk Cousins can accomplish, and I certainly think Jayden Daniels can as well. But he's got a year now of experience under his belt. He'll have more command of the Commanders' Cliff Kingsbury's up-tempo offense and hopefully improved weapons. Yes, Deebo Samuel's a big upgrade, but can the tight end Ben Sennett be an upgrade? Can you get more from Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Eckler with an improved offensive line? What about Noah Brown? It was good to see him over the weekend smiling and taking photos and signing autographs with fans. Kind of lets me know that he did avoid some serious injury. But if Jayden Daniels can have the same processing speed that he had last year, I mean, he was almost like a computer. And a lot of that was probably his use of the VR headset, putting a computer on his brain that allowed him to boom, 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 quickly read the play, find out who gets open, avoid the sack. You know, he's going to have to improve on all of that, and it is something that I actually have a lot of faith in him improving, because I think he did work hard this offseason in the VR headset to make sure that he can continue to get rid of the ball quickly. That was why I think he had so much success. It was because it was quick pass, and then, all right, there's an extended play, but it's not every single play that has to be like that. And, for example, I think that was the Russell Wilson problem the last few years in Denver, was almost every single play he was trying to extend the play and make something happen. Every once in a while, and I think more often than not, you got to get rid of the ball and let your teammates make the play, right? Like Jayden talked about at Fanatics Fan Fest. I'm excited to throw a screen pass to Deebo Samuel and let him run 80 yards to the house, right? We need more of Jayden getting rid of the ball and his explosive teammates making the play for him this upcoming season. Hopefully he can grow in terms of being an alpha in the locker room with all of the national televised games, Madrid, Christmas, Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. He's going to have to be the leader of this franchise, the leader in the locker room, to make sure that everybody gets up for those nationally televised games. But we want to see more deep ball consistency and I think more shots downfield. I'm okay with him throwing two or three more interceptions as long as he has more opportunities to throw the ball downfield. I thought the ball security was solid for Jayden Daniels. But early in the season, there were a few times where he got sacked and fumbled, or he ran and fumbled. We got lucky, and the team recovered that. But that's certainly something that he needs to improve on. And I wonder, can Jayden Daniels use an improved offensive line to help in the rushing game this season? You know, meaning there were a lot of times last year where they did some direct snaps to Jayden Daniels, and he had to, like, make a guy miss in the backfield. I think of the 4th-and-1 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What was his name? Chris Canty? He was in the backfield sniffing Jayden Daniels, and he was able to get away and break free and run for the first down. With an improved offensive line, will Jayden Daniels have more opportunities to run downfield on some of these design plays without having to make a guy miss in the backfield? I mean, that's what's held Washington's rushing attack back in the last 5 years. It feels like, you know, Brian Robinson's gone through it his entire career in D.C., getting pressure up front in the trenches that's forcing our ball carriers to make a guy miss, to dodge someone in the backfield. And that stops the momentum. It stops the explosive plays down the field in the running game. It just messes with the timing, the hole that you're trying to go through. They've got to do a better job of limiting the interior pressure in the trenches. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. We got Stubb running the ones and twos. Our intern Biff has also put together a list of his most important games the Commanders will play this season. Biff, I'm interested in why you put the Seattle game on here, week 9, for the Washington Commanders. Look, that is right after that Monday night game at Kansas City, which is going to be a massive test.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I feel like out of my all my life, we were never the prime time team, so we get a lot of prime time action, which is gonna be cool. And I don't gotta do Stream East or anything like that to watch my team play. But yeah, I'm really excited. I mean, Kansas City's gonna be tough. What I'm most excited for is the rematch for Detroit. I think it's gonna be tough. But I think that has a big chance for Jaden Daniels to really prove himself and say, like, I kind of want to have, like, oh, my quarterback is the owner of the Detroit Lions, right? Especially,
yeah.
Like, that would have such a cool ring to it. And I think if Jaden Daniels can play the way he plays, then he can say that, yeah, Detroit Lions just can't seem to stop this guy. So I'm excited for that. Obviously, the divisional games, I'm excited for the Philly games. But overall, man, it's a really cool experience for this, all these primetime games.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Week 8 being at Kansas City, and then Week 10, America's Game of the Week versus the Detroit Lions, it's going to be tough for this team to not overlook the Seattle Seahawks, a team that's coming to your stadium. It is a primetime game. You know, that's going to demand consistency from everyone, and I do feel like that's another thing where it's like, there's going to be a lot of attention on Washington that week because you're either coming off of the high of beating, you know, back-to-back Super Bowl champs in the Kansas City Chiefs, or you're coming off the low of kind of a reality check of a failed trip to Kansas City for Monday Night Football. So the fact that the Seattle game is kind of sandwiched in between maybe our two most important games of the season, or maybe our two most difficult opponents, Kansas City on the road, Detroit, they're everybody in Detroit's upset with Washington. They're pissed off.
Yeah, they're not.
They felt like they should have played in the conference championship game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So with those two games being so important, but Seattle sandwiched in between, but it's still a primetime game, that is going to be a test right there. It's going to be a test of will. It's going to be a test for Dan Quinn with his anybody, anywhere, anytime motto to make sure the team does not, you know, slack off or look ahead to Detroit or even look ahead to Madrid, because those games are right around the corner. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. As I look at the television, and Sham Sharnia is on ESPN breaking down the latest, which is that Tyrese Halliburton suffered a torn Achilles in his right leg yesterday against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And that ruined what really could have been an epic Game 7, the 2025 NBA Finals. Time to go out on the Fast Break with AWOD, talking all things NBA.
Let's go. Let's play some basketball here.
We're going on a Fast Break with AWOD. From buzzer-beating shots to the best highlight plays from around the league, every clutch moment.
Stroking it from three.
The all-stars of the league. We're out in transition. It's a breakaway.
It's good at the buzzer.
It's the Fast Break and AWOD talking all things NBA.
So as much as I was disappointed to see Tyrese Haliburton go down and the Oklahoma City Thunder win the NBA championship in Game 7, 103-91, I do think that Oklahoma City deserved this title. As much as I want to argue that if Haliburton plays the full game, the Pacers end up victorious, I just don't know if that's truly the case. He did not have a game in this entire series outside of Game 1 where he really played at his best, at his peak here. And when you look at what he did through this series, you know, Game 1, 14 points, 10 rebounds, the game winner. Game 3, his best game, 22 points, and 18 in the Game 4 defeat, and that's where the series flipped because he missed a couple big shots in the fourth quarter. He went 1 of 7. Siakam couldn't hit as well, and a game in which they led for 3.5 quarters. The Oklahoma City Thunder stole, and then big win in Game 5, and Indiana had to win Game 6 to force a Game 7, but in Game 6, he only had to play 23 minutes, and he played through that calf strain in Game 6, inspiring his teammates to play well, and they get the win. But in Game 7, you know, 3 of 4 from three-point land, 9 points in the first quarter. If he ends up having 36, yes, I think the Pacers win the series and win the game. But like I just said, he only had 22 at the most in this entire series. And so if he ends up with 22 again, I think the Thunder are still your NBA champions. So congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They deserved it. I thought Chet Holmgren was much, much better in the second half of this series. He grew into the series like he did against Nikola Jokic. But to me, this was the SGA Jalen Williams show. And they showed that, one, the mid-range is still alive. Two, if you can't stop the dribble penetration, you can't win the game. And three, team basketball wins in the NBA. 12 assists for your MVP, one turnover for SGA to go along with 29 points and 5 rebounds. Just a terrific performance there in Game 7. Didn't shoot the ball great from the field, but when you're getting everybody involved with 12 assists, you certainly are helping your team out significantly. So in terms of who's got the best chance to win the NBA title next year, well, I think it starts with the two top teams at the end of this year's regular season in the Western Conference. I should have stuck with my gut all season long. I said the Western Conference was going to be your NBA champions following last year's Eastern Conference champions winning it all in the Boston Celtics. I thought the West was better from start to finish, but I went with the Indiana Pacers and the coaching matchup there, giving the nod to UVA's alum Rick Carlisle. But next year, I think you have to look at the Oklahoma City number one. It's a young core that will be back. A big three that should get better of SGA, Chet Holmgren, and Jalen Williams. They've got coaching. They've got draft picks. They've got young talent. They've got a window of opportunity that's right now, and they can expand off of their success from this season, hopefully with an exciting offseason and another draft. I mean, their front office has been one of the best in basketball. And that's why at number two, I have to look at the second-best team in the Western Conference regular season, the Houston Rockets. Why? Because they just traded for Kevin Durant to pair him with Sengun and Amen Thompson. And it's going to be interesting how much of a step back this team takes losing Jalen Green. But as long as KD is healthy and the other two guys continue to rise, I think they're going to be a very good team. When you looked at what this Rockets team did this year, I mean, first off, you got to give Ime Udoka a ton of credit. Then I think you have to look at some of the veteran leadership they had on that team that, you know, showed up for the entire season and then, you know, maybe fell apart in the postseason, but you got to give the Warriors credit. I mean, it's not like they won in 5 or 6. It took 7 games for the Warriors to win that series. And so I thought Fred VanVleet should be even better. We'll see how Reed Shepard can rise along with Amen Thompson. But you add Kevin Durant to a lineup, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got Jabari Smith behind him. You know, Tari Eason behind him. Steven Adams still coming off the bench. I think this is a Rockets team that certainly could compete for a Western Conference Finals. I wonder if not having playoff experience from guys outside of KD and Fred VanVleet will hurt them in the upcoming postseason, but a 52-win Rockets team, I think, wins 55, maybe more games this upcoming season. I'm very interested to see what happens with Giannis Antetokounmpo. If he gets traded to, like, the Spurs, they all of a sudden become an absolute contender. The Minnesota Timberwolves, where will they go after another season in which they advance to the conference finals but are shy of making it to the NBA finals? Anthony Edwards needs to play like a future MVP. I thought what they did in the trade really did work out for them, and so we'll see what kind of performances they can get this upcoming season from all of the really talented players that they have, like a Naz Reid off the bench. I mean, this Timberwolves team, I do think people sleep on some of the young talent that they've got. I do like Terrence Shannon Jr. a lot, Dante DiVincenzo. But really, I think it's going to come down to, can Julius Randle improve off of what he did this season, or just at least run it back with 19 points per game and about 8 rebounds, but also the key I thought was almost 5 assists per game for your starting power forward, which does help them really spread the court, given the fact that Rudy Gobert, the team's starting center, cannot shoot the 3 ball. He does not really extend the field. And so, you know, Giannis getting traded next will be the big discussion point here in the NBA. And we've got the draft on Wednesday. For the Washington Wizards, I want Ace Bailey. I wanted a guy that was going to go top 3. And I thought for all offseason and all summer that it was going to go Cooper Flagg, Harper, Bailey. The latest mock drafts don't have Ace Bailey going number 3 overall anymore, which has me really excited for him to possibly fall to the Washington Wizards at number 6 overall. Con Knupel is going to be an option. Kamen Malawak as well. Maybe Trey Johnson, Jeremiah Fears. I'm starting to get excited about the Washington Wizards number 6 overall selection in Wednesday's 2025 NBA Draft Round 1. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show live and local from 12 to 3 p.m. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And you can come back here tonight for Burger Night. Better than before. Back and like it never left. 3 p.m. to midnight. Get a burger for $2.95 or add bacon and beer cheese like I like to do for $3.95. We wanted to continue our NBA conversation. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline from the Sports Junkies, it's JP, John Paul Flame. What's going on, JP?
Dude, you have me salivating. I might have to drive to Richmond. A bacon cheeseburger for under $4?
I know. It's incredible. And they hook me up here every Monday. I've certainly been putting on weight once again because of it, but it is unbelievable, the deal here at Capitol Ale House. One of my favorite places to go to the downtown one. Shoot some darts while I have a burger on burger night. So, JP, let me start with this. Do you think there's any chance the Pacers win the game last night if Halliburton doesn't get hurt?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I mean, they were in the lead at the half, and their big downfall in Game 7 was turnovers. They committed 23 turnovers. So, of course, I think if you have your point guard, you have a chance to probably take care of the ball better than they did, particularly in the second half. They had a turnover issue in most of their losses. Look, you have to credit Oklahoma City. They have a really great defense, physical defense. You saw what Chet Holmgren did, blocking some shots late in that game. But I do think, I'm not saying they win the game, but I think there's a chance that if Tyrese Halliburton is healthy, that they have a very good chance to win the game. Heck, we saw it in Game 1, right? You go all the way back to Game 1 in this series, which was over 2 weeks ago. Indiana was just kind of hanging around. And in the fourth quarter, they couldn't, Oklahoma City couldn't put them away. And then they hit a couple three-point shots, and all of a sudden you're looking at it, it's like, whoa, Indiana could steal this game, and sure enough they did on the Halliburton game winner. So, yeah, I would give them a chance, but you have to credit OKC. Best team all season long, 168 games, have the guy that won the MVP in Shea, leading scorer in the league. So they deserved it, but it could have been different.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been the Pacers supporter on this station all finals long. I had them winning in six. I thought that could have happened if they closed out game four, that they were, you know, playing great for 3.5 quarters. The reason I'd say that they don't win this game even if Halliburton plays all four quarters is because he just never went off for 30 points. His best game was game three when he had 22. And so, yeah, he had that incredible first quarter with 9 points. I'm not sure that it would have continued. And on the flip side, I say, the reason the Pacers couldn't win this finals was not offensively as much as they couldn't stop SGA. The entire finals, they couldn't stop him. Game four, they had him. They had him limited. He entered that fourth quarter with just 20 points, and he ends up with 35. So when a guy averages 30 points for the entire seven-game NBA finals, I think that was the biggest difference. The Pacers could not stop the MVP, who played like an MVP.
Yeah, I mean, they won three games even with Shea scoring those points. Like I said, to me, biggest factor in the game besides Halliburton going down yesterday was the turnovers, and maybe that goes hand in hand. When you commit 23 turnovers in the game, you're probably not going to win.
Did you enjoy this year's NBA playoffs? I thought it was terrific. Really good theater. A lot of games that came down to, you know, the final shot, the heroics from the Pacers on one side. I mean, the Oklahoma City Thunder run in the West was awesome. We had a couple of really good game sevens in this year's finals. Like, I thought this was one of the worst regular seasons in like 10 or 15 years, but one of the best postseasons. Your thoughts, JP?
So I was catching some flack on the show today from Drab, but this is the first year, you know, I love the NBA, and I liked a lot of the games. It felt like it just took forever this year. Can you even remember when Memphis was swept by Oklahoma City in the first round? Can you even remember when the Lakers were playing in the playoffs? It feels like so long ago. And what I said on the show, and I stand by this, why are we doing best of seven in the first round? Why are we doing best of seven in the second round? I think you could do best of three in the first round, best of five in the second round, and then have your conference finals and have your NBA finals. That said, I definitely enjoyed some of the series. Look, in the first round, I think it went seven. Was it, or I guess the second round? The OKC-Denver series was awesome.
Right.
The Celtics-Knicks series was awesome. There were definitely some highlights, but it just seems like it lasts too long. Admittedly, first time I've ever said that. I'm 54 years old. It's the first time I ever felt like it's too long. Look, even the NBA Finals, seven games took 16 days. Do we need 2 days off between some of these games? I don't think so. It seems like it loses momentum to me at times.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. You have to go back to April 19th, right? I mean, you got to go back to a long time ago to find that first round. I enjoyed it because there was nothing else on TV except for the NHL, but I totally understand where you're coming from. I mean, round, it feels like forever ago that Steph Curry upset the Rockets, and that was a game seven.
Right.
You know?
Right. And yeah. And my point is, most of the first round series, all right, if you look at them, there were two out of eight that went seven, but there was also at least two sweeps and a couple that were four games to one. Like, I just don't think you need to have best of seven in the first round. That said, you know, I was entertained. I think Indiana surprised everybody. And we were talking about this on the show. Cakes always brings up OKC, who wins it all. If you're a fan of the Wizards, Cakes was saying you got to be rooting for OKC because we've got a couple guys now in Winger and Dawkins who come from that OKC tree, and they have done the turnaround. They've done coming from the bottom and making it all the way to the top. So you hope that the Wizards can do it. Now, what I'd say is OKC was able to trade Paul George.
Right.
And that netted Shea and all these great draft picks. I don't know that Washington has anybody of that caliber, but they're going to do their best to try and build a winner.
Yeah, that's what's interesting with Wednesday's NBA draft because, you know, like you said, they traded for SGA. It's not like we have a superstar in return when we traded Bradley Beal. I'd almost say Washington's building their franchise more like what we saw from the Houston Rockets and their young draft picks, but they decided to go all in and trade for a Kevin Durant. So, you know, they got off the path that they were going that I think Washington was following. So I wonder, will Washington make a swing, maybe for a Giannis or one of these other big names that will be on the move, or will they just sit at number six and take a swing on Ace Bailey or whoever falls to their lap?
I don't think they have the ammunition to go get a Giannis or one of these superstars right now. You know, going back to that OKC model, they trade Paul George, who was considered one of the best players in the game, and he was still in his prime, maybe tail end of prime, when they make that deal, right? Who does Washington have to trade? They could trade Jordan Poole, I guess. And I think Poole had a pretty nice year last year. A couple years ago, he was one of the biggest jokes in the league, right? He's always on Shaq and a fool. I think last year kind of resuscitated him to some extent. But he's not a Paul George caliber player. They have Chris Middleton. He's oft injured, old. They'll try and unload him. And I guess Marcus Smart, you know. But they are building with these young guys. You know, maybe encouraging is you see a team like Indiana, who makes it all the way to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. They don't really have a superstar. Tyrese Haliburton's a good player, but the players voted him the most overrated player in the league. Now, maybe he's shed that moniker by the way he's played this year in the playoffs, hitting the game winners and everything. Pascal Siakam, nice player, but he's not some superstar. So maybe you just build a really good, solid team.
We got JP Flame with us here from the Sports Junkies on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. I enjoyed EB's breakdown of Ace Bailey, and I feel like I don't usually agree with EB, but I've been obsessed with Ace Bailey all season long. I know the Rutgers team struggled, and he took a lot of bad shots. I felt like he was like a young Kevin Durant, a ton of fadeaways and step-back shots, but he was hitting them. And I just think there's so much to love offensively. I was, like, so depressed, JP, ready to break things when Washington fell to number six. But if they're able to get Ace Bailey, who I thought was going to be a top three pick, you know, for the last year, that would be perfect if that could happen. So I'm all in for Ace Bailey. There's not really another guy that I like that's mocked to Washington.
Yeah, it's hard to know. You know, there was a little period of time on the Junkies where I can't remember if it was Cakes who started hyping up this guy, Igor Demin.
Right.
You know, who's at BYU. You're talking about Ace. I can't get too fired up for any of these guys. You know, Jason and I were talking about today, and I kind of agree with him. If Ace Bailey was so good, why wasn't Rutgers any good? They were terrible. They had two supposedly of the top players in the country in Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, and they don't even make the tournament? They don't go 500? So how good can these guys be? Are they actually difference makers?
Yeah, I mean, look, I did watch some of their games this season, and the two didn't play defense. I mean, that's the biggest thing I can tell you. He did not play like a lick of defense. They didn't try on the defensive side of the ball. And I do think part of their issue offensively, like I said, was they took so many bad shots. It was like they were NBA guys working on their NBA game. They didn't care about anything Rutgers basketball last year. It's one of the big problems of, you know, NIL and the transfer portal is whoever spent all that money that was a Rutgers alum, good for you. You got two great players who did not care, did not try hard, really, and then will then be drafted and be gone. So I kind of think
he's not even working out for teams. So here's my question for you. Mm-hmm. If you were running the Wizards, all right, you like Ace Bailey. Do you think he's an alpha, like a guy who can be your top dog scorer? And then kind of going with that, what do you see in Alex Sarr? You know, because EB today did his commercial film breakdown on the center from Duke, right?
Yeah.
He's not a scorer. The only way to me that you go with a guy like that is if you believe that Sarr can be an alpha and score 25 to 30 points a game down the road. Is he a number two or is he a number one? And what do you think Ace Bailey would be?
So I truly think Ace Bailey is a number one. I mean, I'm going to get some flack for this, JP, but I compare him to LeBron James and Kevin Durant. I think he's that good. I think he's that exciting. He's 6'10", 200 pounds, can dribble the ball. It's his shooting that I'm so excited about. But like I said, he takes so many awful shots, so they're going to have to, you know, teach him to go to the basket and stop shooting so many fadeaways. But I think he could be your starting small forward or power forward of the future with Sarr at number five. I love Bub Carrington. That's my starting point guard of the future
Bub's
there.
The dog.
So I think he can kind of run the offense. And Bailey, I really think there's a chance he could be, you know, at the level of Kevin Durant, LeBron James. I mean, that's what I'm seeing with this guy. That's why I have to swing. I'm trying to trade up. If Philadelphia is going to flirt with him at number three, I'm doing everything to get up to number three. I am all in, putting all my chips in on Ace Bailey.
Yeah, the only thing scares me, like I said, is why they weren't winning games at Rutgers, and why is he sliding down the draft boards now? Now, maybe that is all bogus, but, you know, we all check out kind of the same sites, right? The NBADraft.net. He used to be 2-3. I just checked. He's like 8 or 9 now.
Yeah. No, it's weird. It was weird with Alex Saar last year not wanting to visit Atlanta. I don't know. I think it has to do with, you know, the guys are already making a lot of money in college, so the agents are getting involved and trying to set him up perfectly in the future here. So there's something going on behind the scenes that's very weird, because he was supposed to be a top three pick for more than the last year. I mean, even when he was in high school, he was viewed as maybe better than Cooper Flagg at one point. So I don't understand why he's dropping. But if I'm Washington, I'm making sure I can do everything possible that Ace Bailey is the card you turn in at number six.
Yeah, so he's there. Look, I saw those same breakdowns. Some people had Ace Bailey rated higher. Here's my question for you as a Wizards fan. Most people have bought into the rebuild, right? They clearly have hit the bottom, and they've been rebuilding this last couple of seasons. Do you have the patience to wait another 2 years? Because it's going to be a long year. You know what I mean? Like, when is this supposed to turn around?
Right. I think you're hoping for one more lousy year. You keep the pick that you had traded with the Knicks, and so you need to be a bottom eight team. But hopefully you're a bottom eight team once again with a lot of excitement. You know, Bub Carrington in the right direction, Keyshawn George, Alex Saar in the right direction. Maybe A.J. Johnson is something. But to answer your question, if you're a Wizards fan, it's one more year of being bad, and then we have to turn it around, or I'm giving up.
I totally agree. You got to get something. You know, it just gets me nervous because some of these teams, Detroit finally got good this year, right? But,
yeah,
man, every year they seem to have a top five pick, and then finally it turned around. So they're definitely testing Wizards fans' patience. And I know you've been a Wizards fan your whole life. I think when you started working for the Junkies, you had a Wizards wallet. So hopefully they turn that thing around.
Yeah, I mean, look, you guys had Will Dawkins on for a lot of the year. I love him. I think he's a brilliant young man. I mean, I thought every interview, it was like he inspired me to watch bad basketball because I was excited about the future.
Yeah, but eventually patience wears thin, right? It's kind of what Mike Rizzo's feeling with the Nationals. You can have a reputation, but eventually you got to have results.
JP, thanks so much for joining the show today, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. Keep thriving.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck for Burger Night. And we're back in Richmond following a weekend trip to Philadelphia. And I hope you guys enjoy this recap. I had a really good trip. I was off on Thursday and Friday of last week and went up to Philadelphia with a friend to see the Club World Cup game between Flamengo and Chelsea, Brazilian Soccer League against the EPL. And I'll tell you this, Stub. I hope you had a good weekend. And I enjoyed the trip, but I'm not a fan of Philadelphia at all.
Famously,
I really don't like the Philly bros that I met there. So annoying, all of them. I hate everything about their sports teams. And I also think, especially after kind of seeing the history, Philadelphians, whatever you want to call it, they think they're way more important in like the grand scheme of the history of the United States than they actually are. Philly's trash in my mind. So with that all said, here's my trip recap. Had a ton of fun, but we'll start with the food in Philadelphia. So overrated. I was disappointed. My goodness. So everybody says you have to go to Reading Market. It's the greatest thing ever. It's just you're packed in there like sardines. So many people go there. Everybody's a tourist. Nobody's really from Philadelphia in there. They're all loud and obnoxious. I got the shawarma. It was decent, probably really overpriced. Cost me like $18 for a sandwich, fries. Didn't even get a drink. So the shawarma was like a 5 out of 10. The pizza in Philadelphia, oh, everybody said, you got to get a slice, got to get a slice. No, it's not New York pizza. It's like microwave DiGiorno's. That was not good. Oh, the cheesesteak, right? You got to get the cheesesteak when you're in Philadelphia. It was like the most average cheesesteak ever. Halfway through it, I was like, why am I even eating this thing? It was just stuffed with their shaved steak that's not, I mean, it just tastes like rat meat and plastic cheese. I was so mad with that. I got excited. I texted Michael Phillips. I texted Stubb. I said, I found a bagel place, wood-fired bagel. It was burnt. I mean, it was a burnt bagel. It's not wood-fired bagel. It was a burnt bagel with cream cheese and lox.
You can't do that.
Yeah. No. Saturday night, some people said there's this great place called El Vez. It's a terrific Latin restaurant downtown. It's got a great vibe. It did have a great vibe, and it was cool. I'd never, like, eaten on the street like that, like I was in New York. You're sitting on the corner, and the guy's across the street, you know, singing songs to people in front of an ice cream store. The Latin restaurant was so overrated. The service that we got, unbelievable. She didn't bring us water until the meal was served. I don't understand how that happened. And then the chips were burnt. The chips and salsa were burnt. All right, so late night, we went to this cool bar, Irish bar, and I had a few drinks, and I said, you know what? I'm going to get a cheeseburger. Dude, the cheeseburger was awful. All right, so then we fast forward to Friday night. We went to a different bar. It was called McGillin's. It's supposed to be like one of the oldest bars in Philadelphia. I'm thinking, all right, late night here, I'll have the chicken tenders. Dude, I mean, they were burnt. Dude, I didn't have one good meal in Philadelphia, Stubb. I'm telling you, it was not good. It was just not good. The other thing that I think I learned a lot about myself, so a lot of people were there for the soccer game. There were over 40,000 plus Brazilians. I thought it was one of the coolest moments I had when a Brazilian fan came up to me after the game, wanted to shake my hand because I was wearing a Chelsea jersey, and he said, and this is going to be a terrible Brazilian accent stuff, but he was like, this is the world to us. He was like, for you, you came for a holiday to have some beers, to watch a game. For us, this is everything. This was our life on the line. And it felt that way when I was watching the game. The Brazilians were going nuts for that game. But the biggest thing I realized about myself, Stubb, is I can't do small talk with random people. I can't do it. Am I a bad person? I was so bored. Like, my buddy is so into just, like, you know, striking up a conversation with random people. I can do that, and I can talk sports. Like, I can talk soccer, basketball, football. We met a couple from New York City that were huge fans of the Giants and was talking Commanders with them. But when I started getting into small talk with random people, Stubb, and they're asking me about where I live, what I do for a living, what they do for a living, could not have been more bored, was ready to walk away from every single conversation. Maybe I'm just a bad person, but like, I could talk sports, but when you start telling me about your dog, or you start telling me about your work at a financial institution, my goodness, I couldn't have gotten out of there quicker to order another beer. Another part of the Philadelphia trip. So everybody there takes the, I think it's called the Spectra, which is like their version of the Metro. And so we took that to the game and back from the game. That was one of the most fun part. It was so packed, but you're there with all the fans of Flamengo in Brazil or Chelsea, and it was filled with people chanting. And the Flamengo chants were so cool. If you're a soccer fan at all, you know some of the basic ones, but they were just, oh, I mean, the whole time. They did not stop. They were jumping and dancing and singing on the Metro ride. It was packed. It felt like 100,000 people were in this one little subway train. The stadium, as much as I hate on Philadelphia, is so awesome. The Link is, I think it's one of the top 10 football stadium in the NFL. I really do. I'm so jealous of everything they have there with three major professional stadiums all in this one little circle area. They have Xfinity Live, a.k.a. it used to be called the NBC Sports Zone stub. That's like a giant, Glory Days. It's like a giant sports bar that has all these other food options inside of it. It has bars all around it. It's a great, hovering zone for people who are pre-gaming. You know, it's different tailgate than you're, like, on the street. You're inside, but it was so cool. That was my favorite part of it. I did all the touristy things, like the Rocky Step stub. I'm sure you saw me post that photo.
See that, yeah.
It cracks me up how, so this, you know, I post the photo. What people don't see is you had to wait in the line for 15 minutes as every single person and their grandmother wanted a photo in front of the Rocky statue. Then they asked the person behind them to take it for them. And so you're kind of like sitting there taking turns for a fake, like a person that's not even a real person. Like that's so Philadelphia. It cracked me up. I did enjoy seeing the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall, and I learned that the president lived in Philadelphia. I didn't know that George Washington moved to New York, and that's where they had the White House initially, and then they moved him to Philadelphia for 10 years while they were building the White House that we all know about in Washington, D.C. I think that's part of why Philadelphia people think they're more in tune with U.S. history and why they think their city means more than it actually does, because you had the first president stay there. But it was a really fun trip. Of course, Chelsea lost 3-1, so that kind of ruined a lot of my, excitement for the area. I'm excited to go back, hopefully, for a Redskins game. I told some people when I was walking out the stadium, I'll be back for a conference championship game with Jaden Daniels leading my team. But overall, a fun trip. Did not enjoy the food in Philadelphia, no matter what people say about the cheesesteaks, the pizza, whatever. It's overrated. It's not that good. We got better options here in Richmond. So, fun trip. I mean, my goodness, it would have been more fun if Chelsea had won the game. But I got to give the credit to the 40-plus thousand Brazilians that were there. They were screaming, and I think that guy hit it so on the head. Like, I am a Chelsea fan from Northern Virginia who's never been to England, that, only started watching Chelsea in 2003, 2002. These are Brazilian fans, and first off, this is their game, right? I mean, Brazil's the best nation at soccer. This is their game, and they all came from Rio de Janeiro to see their favorite team play, and so it was like all these people that were actually from, the homeland of the team. It's way different than, just the American Chelsea supporters who don't really know about the history. So the Brazilians were a ton of fun. They were super nice to hang out with. They taught us all their crazy chants and stuff. And, of course, they enjoyed their 3-1 victory while I was upset and drinking myself to sleep on Saturday night. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.